Hey everyone, welcome to the meditation period. Today, Monday, April 18th. So thank you, Serena. As Serena said, you're very welcome. Even if you're brand new to meditation, we try to present the basics in a way that's clear and accessible. It's one of our primary missions at the UCLA Mindful Awareness Research Center. And it turns out that there's room for discussion of this, but my view is that even when we become, you know, more skilled and more experienced, it's good to be reminded about how simple the basics are, even as our practice deepens, as we do remember more quickly what to do and so forth. There's always plenty more to talk about, but in my opinion, it's never a mistake to come back to the basics. What we do is we practice focusing attention. We can do this. We don't have to do anything extravagant. But we do make some effort to direct attention to something happening in our experience. So it's not make-believe. It's not that we're trying to make something happen. We just notice what is happening. And we do it in a way that can be surprising because we ask ourselves to focus attention on fairly mundane experiences. The ambient sounds, sensations in our body, and so forth. This is a mental activity of focusing attention and then sustaining, keeping on with it. And there's something about this activity which has remarkably good effects, more calmness, clarity, stability of mind, and so forth. And it's not automatic. It can take some time. The whole process is very individual and personal. And we come with all sorts of differing conditioning and so forth. So it's not that there's a simple algorithm of step one, step two, and so forth. But I do teach with confidence that insofar as you're interested and do practice some, that you will come to appreciate the amazing sort of effects of taking time to do this. And what can be surprising is how simple it is and how doable the basics are. It does take patience. And one reason it takes patience is because even though we can decide to focus attention, say, on the sensations connected with the breath, and indeed we can do it and even do it well enough, nonetheless, our minds have more important things to do, right? And so quite naturally, this isn't a problem with our minds. It's actually one of the great beauties of our minds that we're really, our minds are active. You know, typically our minds are moving very quickly from one thing to another. And even when we're going in circles and so forth, and that can be frustrating and meditation might help. Nonetheless, the basic capacity is quite extraordinary. And so among all the different forms of life that have evolved, as human beings, the way our minds work quickly to move from one thing to another is certainly one of our special talents. So when we try to stay with the breath, we definitely will be able to do it to some extent, but we also, all of us, will at some point find that our attention has been pulled away. And so we're ruminating on a problem, there's some sort of fantasy that we're engaged in or a familiar problem that we're going through again, all that, whatever it is, we include it in the meditation. And all that means is simply recognizing what's happening. Don't panic, you haven't failed. Often there is emotion that is part of the experience, right? Some degree of anxiety or excitement or joy or desire, some form of desire, all of this. And so the invitation is just take stock. What is actually happening? Not in the spirit of fixing it or clamping down or controlling so much as becoming more familiar with, well, what is it like to feel anxious? And this definitely takes some patience, right? And especially since I'm going to advise, we advise not so much the thoughts that are getting fueled by anxiety, but what it actually feels like in our bodies. And this can be humbling because, you know, we want to solve the problems, and that's not unreasonable. Of course, we want to solve them, and we can often, we can do something, but whether we can solve them or not, that's what we do in the meditation, is just notice what the experience is like, and especially the palpable visceral experience, what we can feel in our bodies, the sensations in the chest, the torso, that are indeed a component of emotions and very often overlooked. So I've given this speech that makes it sound like there's a lot to do there. Not necessarily. We take an interest, right? We just, okay, we don't have to perform. We don't have to fix something. No one's grading us. We just notice, okay, what is it like for me right now? And then not getting too lost in that, just a gentle sort of recognition, and then reconnect back to that home base of the breath or wherever we were trying to focus. So let's practice together. We can meditate in any posture. We sort of default to an ordinary sitting posture, but we can stand, we can lie down. We can even do walking meditation and so forth. So feel free to adjust your posture. We do want a posture that's kind of supports being alert, even while relaxed, but sometimes that is a more energetic standing up. So feel free to do that if you wish. Eyes can be open or closed. Most of us, again, we'll find it easier with eyes closed, but if for any reason you want your eyes open, that's fine. Might take a few deeper breaths, slightly deeper in breath and out breath. Letting your breath be normal. So we'll come back to the feel of the breath in a minute. For now, just notice the sounds you can hear. So whatever is happening in your environment, or possibly even in your head, whatever sounds there are, and notice, take the easy route here. We're not trying to hear everything. We're not trying to keep track. It's just this practice of focusing attention on something happening and noticing some of what's happening. So we're not trying to get something out of the sensations or accumulate something. It's more just this moment by moment mental activity of noticing, tuning in. The mind is sort of spacious and open because sounds can come from anywhere. It's interesting, we don't have to stop other things, but there is something real to focusing attention on this part of our experience, even in the midst of everything else that's happening. And this is that activity of the mind that I'm talking about, focusing, sustaining attention. It may be difficult to believe it has good effects. So I welcome your skepticism, but also welcome, you know, giving it a shot, see what happens. So you can stay with sounds as your home base if you wish. Come back to sounds at any time. It's also good to practice with our bodies in a similar way. So when you wish, shift the focus from ambient sounds to sensations in your body. Head, shoulders, arms, hands, torso, legs, feet. not trying to feel everything, and no need to keep track. Sensations like vibration, movement, softness. No need to name the sensations, just this attention to the raw feel of it. As we tune into our bodies, it can be natural to notice the breath again, but now just the normal breath and the sensations that arise naturally, often usually unnoticed. But when we notice, we can notice, we can see the abdomen moving slightly, slight rising, tensing as the in-breath begins. Falling, softening, dissolving with the out-breath. Somewhat similar in the chest, slight rising, falling. Flow of fine sensations at the opening of the nose as air comes in, as air leaves. So this is definitely doable, and it does take effort, meaning we have to decide to try. But we don't have to get it perfect. So just let your attention rest somewhere where, okay, yeah, I can feel the in-breath begin, the abdomen, chest, or nose. Let just focus attention there and see if you can keep your attention there and just, you know, stay attuned to the changing sensations as the in-breath begins, unfolds, out-breath begins, falling, softening, so forth. So, you know, by definition of what we're doing, we can't do it all at once. So no need to try, right? It's not like a whole lot of effort now. We'll get it all over with real quick. You know, part of the game, part of the practice here is taking some time. And of course, there can be elements of impatience or anything can come to mind. And of course, as I mentioned, there will be times when we forget completely what we thought we were trying to do, right? And so we have a certain nonchalance actually about that, you know, just kind of recognizing what has drawn our attention, but in a simple way, not lecturing ourselves or trying to micromanage so much as just notice thinking, planning, worrying, just notice emotion if and when it's there, especially the feel of it in our bodies, and gently reconnecting with the breath, meaning the feel of the breath, the actual sensations. There's no rush. We find our own balance here, even if this is your first time to meditate. It's in my view is that we use our own wisdom, our intuition as we enter into this sort of activity. So there is something to do, this, you know, focusing, sustaining attention, receiving the sensations of the breath. If for any reason the breath doesn't feel quite right, going back to your hands or your feet, somewhere else in your body, or back to sounds. So there's something to do, and there's also quite a lot of permission here. So if thoughts are really insistent and so forth, just notice what it's like. What is it like with emotions? It's quite strong. Can you find that physical component, the tangible sensations? Defaulting back to the breath, but not a rush. Thank you. So it'll take 2 or 3 minutes for the meditation together. Still no need to rush. Even noticing one breath or noticing anything that has drawn your attention is important. Even when it seems trivial, it's this practice of noticing, of being aware. And of course, this includes whatever presents itself, even when it's a sort of irritating boredom or whatever may come to mind, we practice noticing. And that's where the basic method is really supplemented by this sort of vast invitation, this permission to be real, just to notice without performing or needing to micromanage or change or even improve, just noticing. See what happens. So yeah, thank you. Thank you for your practice. There, in my opinion, you know, there's not anything real paradoxical about what we're doing. Things can become quite interesting when we think about them, but even something as simple as, you know, that what, you know, just there's not an agenda. We don't have to try to get something done. We don't need to try to micromanage our experience and so forth. One might ask, well, how is that? How does that fit with being interested in meditation precisely because we do hope to change? We hope to have less anger or manage it better or deal with anxiety better and so forth. And I don't think it's paradoxical at all, although one might try to make it sound that way. It's simply, it can be reasonable to hope that mindfulness can help us with these things, whatever problems there are. And I'd say that with confidence and so forth. But in the actual doing of the meditation, we're not directly trying to tackle those issues. And so hoping to manage anxiety better through mindfulness practice is being willing to take the time to notice what it's really like to be anxious. And there certainly can be those moments with Ginny, experienced meditator will attest to, where we actually focus on what it's like to be anxious. And it feels like it's pouring gas on a fire. It's just making it worse, right? Because we're actually noticing what is really happening rather than distracting ourselves. But the idea is this is in the spirit of being real, of beginning perhaps to pay more attention to some of these states that we wish were different. And over time, it definitely can help us in some way or other. I like to kind of talk about physical pain, working with physical pain, because it's a simpler, kind of more vivid, perhaps, model of how we work with any difficult states. And basically, some of you know, it's like, mindfulness certainly can help people manage physical pain. And the key is being willing to actually feel it, to bring awareness into that part of your body, but not in a forced way, just in a kind of an experimental way, and then shifting back to the breath or somewhere else as much as you wish. So that back and forth. And there certainly will be that experience when one experiments with, oh, what is it like, just if it's my shoulder, what is it like to actually just feel those sensations of pain rather than try to outsmart them or fix them in some way. And it certainly can be interesting. And wow, I didn't know it was even that intense, right? But then here, the emerging science is supportive that, yeah, it can help us manage physical pain by this process of being willing to feel it a little bit, but balanced with as much focus on the breath or somewhere else as we wish. So it's not a kind of a forced pay attention to the pain so much as a balanced the openness to the pain, but in a context of the support of attention to the breath or hands or sounds and so forth. And very similar with emotions like anxiety, fear, and so forth. The promise with pain is certainly not that it will make the pain disappear. Right, it can at times, but what the science supports and what people say quite often is, yeah, the pain is still present, but I'm managing it better. It's not dominating my life in the same way. I have more freedom in my response, and kind of a similar model for difficult emotions like anxiety. So yeah, thank you for the comments in the chat. I did get a haircut. First haircut by someone other than myself in more than 2 years. So I kind of think you should have been commenting on how great my haircut was month after month after month. But in any case, I'm teaching in person on campus. I'm on campus some now. So I realized I needed to do more than make a somewhat suitable image for Zoom. How often do I meditate? I've tended to meditate every day for more than 30 years. It's became part of my life quite naturally. As a philosophy graduate student, when I learned some basics, I was fortunate, I feel, not to have somebody telling me I should do it for a certain amount of time. So I actually learned from an app. Back in those days, apps were called books. So I learned from a book, and I was fortunate to get some good guidance, actually not that different from what I teach now. So I've had a lot of continuity with it. And so I would just meditate for a few minutes and it was fortunate for me, I think, because it didn't set up an unnecessary failure experience if I'd had some idea of how much I should meditate. But it is a skill, and the more the better. If you have time, it can be worth the time that you give it, but it's also can be valuable to spend just a few minutes a day, but do it in a regular way and see what happens. We do offer 6-week classes. Many of you know the MAPS classes that meet for 6 weeks, 2 hours a week. And these have been working pretty well online. And so that would, if you're kind of thinking, well, maybe I could start a practice, I would certainly encourage considering that. And that sort of sustained course might be helpful. And, you know, we have varying teachers teaching those. It's good to also to have the influence of other teachers. So we're even when we're teaching the same methods, we do have our own personalities. We're not really teaching our own experience, but we do have different ways of saying things and highlighting things and so forth. So it can be great to have other teachers just to help us kind of triangulate our own practice, right? So we're not imitating anybody, but we are learning some basic methods that can be helpful. And equanimity is a word. It isn't that common an English word, I don't think. It's not used that much. In meditation circles, it's used a lot to mean kind of just the balanced mind that recognizes how complex the world is, how complex it is to be a human being, and kind of develops that sort of balance moment by moment. And it's not indifference, but it's more of a recognition of the complexity of things and the value of just noticing what is really happening. Thanks for all the comments. It's good to be with you. Let's see.